Hello, this is Margarita Monet from Edge of Paradise, and you are listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. I'm your host, Blake. Visit our website, www.themetalpit.org, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit, and you can follow our podcast on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast, and there's also a website for the podcast, which is themetalpitpodcast.com instead of .org, like the website. And we're also on YouTube, where you can listen to this podcast, audio versions of this podcast. I guess you might be there right now. It depends if you're listening. Okay, well, this episode is a little different than what we usually do, because usually we talk about an album, but we're nearing the end of season two of the podcast, because I start a new season in November. And so we're nearing the end, so we're going to have a little contest, and we're dealing it with this podcast. This podcast is going to be all about thrash metal. We're going to talk about me and my two guests, who I'm going to introduce in a second. We're going to talk about the start of thrash metal. We're going to talk about the Big Four thing. We're going to talk about thrash all over the world, more or less, and finish it off with something, but I'm not going to tell you what our list is until we get to it. Okay, so my guests are, I got two of them. I'm from Canada, in case anybody didn't know that. And I got two guests from the United States. We got John in North Carolina. How are you doing, John?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I'm glad you didn't get hit too badly where you live anyway with the storm that went through, except this podcast is being recorded a few days before it's being released. So by then, hopefully everything's good for everybody there. And in Virginia, we got my friend Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, Blake. Doing great, man. Been looking forward to this podcast. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes. Okay. So, and I said there's a contest to go with this, so I'm going to explain that really quickly before we get into talking about thrash. So I have I'm going to have a Metal Pit prize package to give away. It's worth approximately $500, give or take. And so we're looking for interactions from you, the faint metal fans listening to us. So there's going to be three opportunities during this podcast to kind of enter the contest. We're going to start, like, the first one's going to be the Big Four, where we're going to give out what we think the Big Four should have been, if we thought it should have been different bands than the ones that were chosen for that. And we want to hear your Big Four. And then later, there's going to be two other parts of this podcast. So you have to listen to the whole episode, where you can enter the podcast or enter your answers. And you can either answer them, you can leave your lists on Facebook if you follow us there, on Instagram if you follow us there, wait for the podcast advertisement thing and put it in there. Or if you listen to us on YouTube, you can leave it in the comments there. Or you can email your list to me, podcast@themetalpit.org or info@themetalpit.org, whichever email is easier for you to remember. Or if you forget, just go to our website and look for the contact form and do it there. And I will tell you, the prize so far, there might be a few little things I'll add to it later, but I got the 40th anniversary re-release of Slayer's debut album Show No Mercy on vinyl. It's on Gold Dust vinyl, and it has a 28 page album size booklet with it. It's one of only 6,000 copies made. I got the DVD of the documentary Murder in the Front Row, which was from 2019. And that's, of course, all about thrash. If you maybe, hopefully not everyone has seen it. So if you win it, you'll see it for the first time. And I got Overkill box set, The Atlantic Years. It comes with their 6 albums released on the Atlantic record label. And I got a paperback book called Enter Night, which is a biography on Metallica by Mick Wall, and it is over 500 pages long. And the most important prize, of course, is you win a Metal Pit t-shirt.
Those are great, by the way.
And that is the most valuable part of this prize. Okay, maybe not, but it's most valuable to me.
I love mine. I thought they came out really sharp, personally.
Yes.
Thanks again, Blake. Cool. They look awesome. Yes. I love that V guitar in there.
Yes, that was good. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do this, and I don't know what I got, a few different sections, but our first section, we're going to talk about the start of thrash metal, first thrash bands, maybe the bands that influenced it before they started, whatever we guys want to start with. How about John, you want to start what you think was first and how it got started or whatever?
Yeah, sure. For me, thrash metal, it's very rooted in punk rock. And I believe it, to me, it's very much the ultimate crossover genre. It's always, in my mind, it's always been two parts metal, one part punk. So really, I think you've got to look at Motorhead as the start of it all. You know, just, and you could probably even look back a little bit further, even to Lemmy's previous band, Hawkwind. But, you know, Motorhead definitely had kicked up the speed element to it. It was the crossover band that metal kids and punk kids could go to all their shows and get along. They have a huge influence, obviously, in their sound. And, you know, just about all the extreme metal that I love and listen to today, I don't think really would exist without them. You know, Lemmy is obviously a god in most metal circles, depending on who you talk to. And, you know, I think rightfully so. They've done a lot to push the scene forward. And without them, you wouldn't have had bands like Venom or Celtic Frost or, you know, Slayer even. You know, even Metallica points to them as being a big influence, you know, early on. So for me, it all begins with Motorhead.
And Eric, what are your thoughts?
Mine are pretty brief. I would say, as I'm getting ready to jam some Judas Priest by accident. So I read something pretty interesting recently about how Exodus has been given credit as the first actual thrash band because they were together in 1978. I knew they were pretty old. Like, I knew they were, like, that's not in a derogatory way, but I knew they were around, like, around the Metallica era, but I didn't realize they were quite around before 1980. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then one other thing is, like, Blake, you and I, this is a little bit off topic, but hear me out. We had talked a while back about the difference between speed and thrash metal, and there really isn't any true, like, speed metal, but they're giving Anthrax credit for their very first album as being an influence on, like, speed metal and thrash metal. So I thought that was kind of interesting, Fistful of Metal. And I feel like, without looking up anything, because I'm a very long-time Judas Priest fan, Rapid Fire could very well be the first true, like, speed-slash-thrash metal song from British Steel. That is a gem. But that's pretty much my take on the beginning of it. I have plenty to add in the East Coast versus West Coast. More on the guitar side of things, since I've been playing over 30 years. But that's pretty much my take on the beginning. I would give Exodus the credit. Metallica is what we mostly think of when we think of the first thrash, you know, metal band in existence. Kill 'Em All just really laid the foundation. Mm-hmm. And you hear some of those, as John attested to, you hear there's some of those punk rock, some of those hardcore influences mixed in with the metal, just some of that tenacity, a lot of the snare drum hits, cymbals, just some of that piss and vinegar and ferocity that, you know, your Sex Pistols, you know, your early punk rock, you know, definitely kind of started things off. Just, you know, with a little bit more gain and a bit more musicianship, but yeah, that's my take on the beginning.
Yeah, and like John said about the punk influences, like the Ramones and the Dead Kennedys. But kind of back then, like, people didn't want to associate punk and metal till, I mean, Motorhead had it in there, but Motorhead, he didn't even like being called metal or whatever.
It's true.
Called rock and roll, but whatever. He knew he was metal, but yeah. But it didn't seem like it was till Metallica started releasing covers of punk songs where they thought, okay, I guess it's okay to like punk and metal at the same time or something like that. Because Steve Harris hates being called influenced by metal or influenced by punk, I mean. even though there's a couple Iron Maiden songs like on the first album that are kind of punky, like Running Free, they're that one.
Big time. Yeah.
But,
oh yeah, absolutely.
But yes, I would definitely say Motorhead was the one of the ones that, of course, yes, Metallica was heavily influenced by Motorhead, and they just started and they just played more faster. And then, of course, well, of course, Kirk Hammett of Metallica was in Exodus before Metallica, but I just I just go by the fact that Metallica released their album before Exodus did. And I don't think Exodus' first album came out till 85, wasn't it? I think. I thought, yeah, Bonded by Blood didn't come out till 85.
Yep.
So I guess they could have been together first. So, well, but I'm not debating who, you know, was the first guys that played thrash. I just kind of talking about first guys that released thrash. And of course, in that year, 83, you mentioned Kill 'Em All came out, Slayer, Show No Mercy came out. And Canadian band Exciter also had an album out that year. Of course, if you look on Wikipedia, they don't mention the Canadian bands. But anyway, I would say those were the first three real thrash albums once it was called thrash. Even though
Can I say something real quick? Exciter's, yes. James Hetfield gives Exciter some credit for influencing them. So I think you're spot on about that.
Well,
they've been around a long time.
I have the Ride the Lightning box set thing that came out. Whatever, when it came out, and they have a book in there of all the top 10 lists that were in magazines like Circus and Hip Raider, and I always see Exciter in there with Metallica back in that year, like 80 whatever, 84. And so they were there, but they didn't, you know, they kind of stopped and went 20 years between albums like a lot of these groups have done lately.
Well, here again, I mean, the lines might be a little bit blurry, but I mean, Venom came out with Welcome to Hell in 1981. And again, it's entirely subjective as to whether you consider it a black metal album, a death metal album, or a thrash metal album, or just a heavy punk album. So, you know, I think you got to give some props to those guys as well. You know, here again, without Venom, you know, a lot of the bands that we listen to today wouldn't exist either.
Yeah, and I do remember Metallica said they were also influenced by Venom. They just weren't going to sing about Satan in every song. But yeah, I know some people have said, oh, Venom's the first thrash metal band. But I love Venom, but I've never considered them thrash, but I've never considered them black metal, even though they created the name. But so I don't know. They're hard. I just call them extreme, I guess. I don't know. They're a hard band to kind of back then to say what they were, actually.
Well, and they were so far ahead of their time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, death metal, thrash metal, technically none of it really existed yet. So, like, where do you categorize, you know, the first bands to actually do something like that?
Yeah. And I read, I don't know if this is true, but it said the word thrash came from the Anthrax song, Metal Thrashing Mad, on their first album, which Eric mentioned.
I read that, too.
So a writer said that that's where the term came from. So I guess the thrash term came after Metallica and Slayer had their first albums. So I don't know what people were calling it before somebody made this word up. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. Okay. So I don't think I have anything else up there. Oh, I did have Welcome to Hell on my notes too, but you already mentioned that. Exodus, of course, Anthrax. Okay, so the big four of thrash. Now, I don't really know. Does anybody know who picked the big four of thrash? Was it Metallica, just so they could do that tour? Does anybody know this?
Probably had more to do with the record companies than anything, just based off of sales.
Yeah, that's what I would guess, too.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Metallica, because I could have probably went back and tried to find that information, but whatever, been busy. So yeah, so I didn't know if it was a Metallica thing or whatever. So we're just going to talk about, so the bands, of course, were Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. And it's funny, I had, they released a DVD for that that was recorded in Sofia, Bulgaria. And a few episodes ago, I had Irina Angelova from the group Gwen DD. Sorry, they're kind of a hard name to pronounce. But, and she's from Sofia, Bulgaria. And so we did our episode on Master of Puppets. So she could have been on this episode too, actually. But anyway, she said she couldn't go to that concert because she was too young. She was only like 11 years old or whatever. Really upset that she wasn't able to go to the big four in her hometown country. because she wasn't old enough yet to go to a concert. So anyway, so yeah, so it's Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax. So Eric, would this be your big four? If you had to pick a big four, like for you, like say you're going to organize a big four thrash, what four bands would be your four?
I would say that's a solid list. My only thing is, I would say make it a big six, because I feel like Testament and Overkill have put in the time and both have their own sounds and are both genuine and great bands. So I'd say go for a big six and add those two bands, and it would have been perfect. But I certainly have no qualms with the big four. I think they did a good job, whoever is responsible for it.
And John, would those be your big four too?
No. Metallica released two good albums. Mm-hmm. They released two generational albums. And then after, 1988, 89, they've become a radio rock band, and they've been a radio rock band for 30 years. Hard for me to call them big four when the vast majority of their career, they've been much more of, just that, a radio rock band. Not discrediting any of their work. I love their first four albums. Lightning and Puppets especially still get a lot of spins here at the house today. But I think, if you look at their overall body of work, they're not really a thrash band. We could debate that for years and years and years. People have been for years and years and years, but that's just my humble opinion on it. As far as Megadeth goes, I thought that, they had three solid albums, one generational album in Rust in Peace, which is just mind blowing. And then somewhere along the line, things just kind of went off the rails as far as their songwriting is concerned. I don't really understand how you can go from writing an album like Rust in Peace to Insomnia, Omnia, 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 Omnia. I mean, just come on, Dave. Really? Really, Dave? I never got into Anthrax. Slayer has been probably the most consistently excellent of those four bands. But here again, lists are subjective. Everybody loves to debate them. I'm not really a huge Slayer fan. There are other thrash bands I like far better. My big four would actually probably be Nuclear Assault, Prong, Overkill, and then this will probably surprise some people, a band nobody ever really talked about, but Grip Incorporated, I thought was a phenomenal band. They were well produced. Their musicianship was top notch. I thought Dave Lombardo had a lot more freedom to do what he wanted to do rather than just playing punk beats and Slayer all the time. So from a creativity standpoint, I actually like Grip better than Slayer. But again, that's just my opinion. Nobody's got to agree with it or whatever, but that's where I stand on my personal big four.
That's perfectly fine. That's a thing, like, because you're bringing it up about Metallica. I like Metallica, but like as soon as the Black Album came, then they weren't really thrash anymore. So it kind of depends on what you want to do when you're deciding your big four. Are you talking about, the big four, whatever year that was done, maybe picking the big four, I don't know. Or because now, you're not gonna, but even if Metallica came out with an album now that was thrash, say, I mean, maybe the last few aren't that bad, but they're not, they're not Ride the Lightning or Master Puppets, of course. But even if they came out with one, there's so many people that already says, well, they're not thrash anymore, they're this, they're not going to win the people back to say that they're thrash. So I'm really in a no-win situation anyway, if they were going to do that, but they're getting old anyway, so I can't really imagine there's going to be too many more albums anyway, but that's just something else. So my big four, I do have Metallica on my, I guess I'm kind of going by what I said about being back then, maybe more than now, I guess. And I did have Slayer, but I would have changed the other two. And this is just from personal preference that I like Exodus and Testament more than I like Megadeth and Anthrax. That's really the only reason that I would say that those would be my big four, that I would rather see Exodus And not that I saw that tour or nothing like that anyway, but if I did, that would have been it. So this is one thought for people that give us your big four, what you think should be the big four. Maybe you'll surprise us with some groups like Grip Inc., like John just did, even though I do remember the name, but I don't know if I ever listened to them or not. So I might have to check that out now.
Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome. They've only got the four albums because Gus Chambers passed away in 2010, I think. I could be wrong there. But yeah, like from a songwriting standpoint, from a technicality standpoint, they were about as perfect a thrash band as you could really come up with. They were pretty progressive too. They did a lot of different things that you know, really commonly find in the genre. I loved them. I thought they were great personally.
And Eric, did you ever listen to Grip Inc.?
I remember seeing them online, and I don't know if I actually saw in the guitar magazine. I think I did actually, but I can't say I listened to them, but I do remember Lombardo was part of them, but I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
Who was the, John, who was the lead singer of the band?
That would be the late Gus Chambers. He had kind of a punk style voice, okay. Very green though, projected himself very well. The guitarist was Valdemar Sarichta, formerly from Voodoo Cult, and I believe he's in X Hoarder now. One of my favorite guitar players. His leads are just phenomenal. Definitely worth checking out. There's not a whole lot of body of work to dig into. Like I said, there's only four albums. Well, every one of them was great, I thought.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I think we can move on from that. So, yeah, so if you're listening, give us your top four somewhere, like I mentioned before. And this is also going to be on social media. You're going to have like 3 weeks or something like that to do this, but I'm going to explain that on the website, social media. But anyway, that's one of your chances to give us your top big four. And your big four can be still the big four. If you agreed with whoever made the big four, then just say that you agree with that. That would be your big four too. It doesn't matter. So there's no right or wrong answers here. We just want to know people's opinions. And we might learn some new bands like we maybe just did. Okay, so now we're going on to these Americans wanting to talk about, even though you're both kind of on the East Coast, more or less, you're kind of in the middle, right? I don't know. We're going to talk about
East Coast.
We're going to talk about East Coast versus West Coast thrash and maybe the differences or whatever. So, Eric, do you want to go first then?
If you want to hear some a little bit of a geeked out guitar speak, I can I can do that.
Go ahead.
So as far as from a guitar playing perspective, I was able to draw more similarities than differences, and that's actually going to go with equipment as well. I noticed with the East Coast, there's a little bit more down picking than alternate picking. Obviously, they incorporated both. But you go out West Coast and you have more Testament, definitely Slayer, a lot more of the alternate picking, more 16th notes. One thing that I thought that was kind of interesting, too, as I kind of thought back about some stuff that I learned back in the day, because I don't play too much thrash these days. I mostly write my own stuff, and then I teach part-time. But I did notice, thinking back to Testament and Slayer again, that they used harmonies, oftentimes very dissonant harmonies. And Megadeth used some too. Anthrax, not too much. But that was really about it as far as the differences go. On the guitar front, I probably took too many notes, and I don't want us to have any crickets. So I'll just kind of scan my list here. I learned something just kind of looking up a little bit of information over the last week or so. I just didn't realize how many guitarists use Gibsons out of all these thrash bands. But I'm looking at East Coast, and the original Overkill guitar player, he actually used an Epiphone, which I didn't know that. I mean, you know, I've seen them live before, not back in the day, but so in Anthrax, they used Jackson V's, Jackson Soloists. You got Fender Strats, Randall amplifiers, the 100s. West Coast, I took just a truckload of notes. And again, the Gibsons are pretty prominent. Metallica, you have the Gibson V. The King V is big with both Metallica, Megadeth. ESP was a big player. Kirk Hammett had his Ouija board one. Always thought that one looked kind of cool, like a little bit kind of sinister. But he had his own custom ESPs, the KH. Megadeth later on. I wanted one of these. I never bought one, but the Jackson Kelly that Marty Friedman mentioned. John had mentioned the masterpiece Rust in Peace. You'll hear a Kelly, the Jackson Kelly all throughout there with that smooth lead tone. That's Friedman's all right. You got some Ibanez guitars, which I've played over the years. That's Mr. Alex Skolnick from Testament, played those quite a bit. He's a big Gibson guy these days, and he played Horizon too. And then just kind of wrap things up, Slayer, they were big on BC Rich. They played the BC Rich Bitch, which also Mustaine played. The Mockingbird, pretty cool, aggressive shape. You got like a Jackson on Exodus, played a Jackson Dinky. And then ESP, you got the Jeff Hanneman from Slayer. So kind of all over the place, but I didn't want to bore anybody too much. They love their Marshalls. I had a Marshall Lead 12, which anybody who's probably, I guess, maybe 40 or 45 up and older would get a kick out of that. But that was Marshall's little amp. But I played it. It sounded pretty good. I'm sure if I heard one now, I'd probably like plug my nose and plug my ears. But the Marshalls, they were the standard in the 80s. So I got to give them their due. You know, not my favorite guitar amplification, but a lot of the guys, a lot of our idols growing up, bands that we listened to, they played the Marshalls. The GCM 800 was the big one. That was really the front runner. But that's the guitar geek perspective of the East versus West.
Well, if I saw Marshalls on stage, I thought, well, these guys must be good.
It's the truth.
I have a Marshall, just a little one though, because I don't really play guitar that much. But anyway, okay, John, what do you want to say about the East Coast versus the West Coast? Do you have a preference?
I'm an East Coast guy. I prefer the East Coast scene, mainly because, again, I think thrash is still very much rooted in punk. And in the 80s, between New York and Washington, D.C., you had two very, very big, prominent hardcore punk scenes. So stylistically, if you listen to the East Coast bands, SOD, Nuclear Assault, Prong to a degree, Overkill, MOD, they all have a much more punk style with their song structure. Everything's a little quicker, a little more aggressive, which I like. The West Coast bands I found were a lot more progressive. They seemed to be a lot more virtuoso, for lack of a better word, in terms of their musicianship. You know, though, you look at an album like Master of Puppets, you look at a lot of what Testament has done, specifically with Alex in the band. They were a lot more free, a lot more experimental with everything they did, a lot more progressive. And none of it is bad. You know, it's just my own personal preference. I lean towards the East Coast guys and their more punk style of songwriting.
Well, I have wrote here, where did I just see it? If West Coast thrash was a finely sharpened sword, East Coast thrash was a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
You're not wrong.
But anyway, and just to clarify here, I know some bands were mentioned, of course, but yeah, West Coast featured, you know, Metallica, Slayer, Exodus, Testament, all those kinds of bands. Yeah, and the East had Overkill, like you mentioned, Nuclear Assault, Anthrax. I thought I had it. Oh, I already said Overkill, sorry. But yeah, so I guess, yeah, like you said, I think the West Coast, sorry, it's getting confusing now, was a little more, yeah, progressive, like you said, in a way. Not progressive, Dream Theater progressive, I guess, but, you know, like Metallica had a lot of long songs, too, and that was kind of part of it there. Okay, I don't think I need to add anything else to that. I guess I don't really have any preference myself, probably because I live in Canada. I don't know. I'm going to talk about Canadian thrash later, and you two will just be sitting there not knowing anything about it. But anyway, okay, let's go. We're going to go to European thrash now. Now, I probably wouldn't even have thought about this until we did this podcast where I had to, I got to get some stuff about European thrash. I mean, because I don't think there was much European thrash that I actually listened to much. I know I had one Creator album, but I just didn't get into it. But I kind of think that John probably likes Creator, probably, right? John, I'll let you go. You want to talk to
me? Yeah, I mean, thrash? Creator, it was really my gateway band into thrash metal and extreme metal. I saw their video for People of the Lie on Headbangers Ball back in like 91. I was like 15 at the time. Their early albums in particular, again, are almost too extreme to really be considered thrash. I look at an album like Pleasure to Kill or, you know, Terrible Certainty, Coma Souls. They're almost death metal albums in a way, just because of their intensity and, you know, the rawness of their sound. They got a little more melodic later on, you know, obviously, but I think, you know, by and large, European thrash kind of begins and ends with Creator for a lot of people. I want to give some props and some love to a little three-piece from Switzerland called Coroner, who I thought were way ahead of their time and way better musicians than a lot of guys even here in the States. If you listen to Punishment for Decadence or No More Color, you know, you listen to these songs that these guys wrote, what they were playing, just amazing. I always semi-jokingly refer to them as the Rush of thrash metal. Three-piece, just virtuoso performances with their musicianship. And it kind of bothers me in a way. They never really got the credit they deserved for as good as they really were. You know, Tommy actually even had played in Creator at one point in the early 2000s. Phenomenal. So I got to give some love to Coroner, personal favorite of mine.
And Eric, you have any thoughts on European thrash?
You know, I didn't really do too much research. I'm trying to think of that single that the Coroner did, because I learned a guitar part when I was a teenager. Do you remember which one that was, John? I started looking it up here. I don't
know the name of it. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I actually had it on Spotify, and Spotify's acting weird on me. But, you know, the band that I think of when I think of European thrash, I think of Metal Church. I was a big Metal Church fan back in the day. I know Blake liked them as well. I think he only liked their first two. I like their first three. The third one was definitely more progressive, and I'm a big progressive, like, I don't know these days, but I like some progressive metal. I like bands that do push the envelope quite a bit. I do like some technical music. I do like some in your face metal like you as well. But yeah, Metal Church, Beyond the Black. Oh my God. I mean, what an opener. There's those first two albums, Ton of Bricks off the Dark. I mean, those two albums are amazing. I love Blessing in Disguise too. Vocally, I mean, it's a little more melodic. It's still pretty thrashy, and the drumming, oh my God. What a drummer. He definitely would give Lars Ulrich a run for his money, without a doubt, man.
I could be completely wrong in this, but I had thought they were from Washington State. I thought they were from the Seattle area.
They're German.
They are?
They are.
I thought Metal Church was American too, myself.
They are not.
Oh, okay.
That's news to me.
No,
I did not know.
Well, no, Eric, it says on Spotify they formed in San Francisco.
Oh, I do see that there. What's interesting, because I remember
Kurt Vanderhoof is in the band, so he maybe isn't an American. So maybe
he's definitely German. And I remember watching them on Headbangers Ball, and they're actually introduced as a German metal band, and that kind of stayed with me. But if you listen to, they had Vanderhoof, and then they had, what's the other cat's name? They had the other guitarist. I guess it's the current lineup. Craig Wells. Yeah. Craig Wells was the guy. He had like curly brown hair, and he had his ESP, I want to say. But they both had thick German accents. So As far as I'm concerned, they're a German metal band. But yeah, I just pulled it up. I see the San Francisco, but they were introduced as a German metal band, and they sounded German to me.
Maybe that writer just figured he was talking to Vanderhoof and said that. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I like Metal Church. And that's another band that, you know, you could say their first two albums were thrash, but then after that, they weren't really thrash anymore. They were just heavy metal, I guess you'd say. I don't know.
I would say that, yeah, Blessing in Disguise is more than heavy metal. If you listen to it, there's definitely some intensity. I mean, vocally, it's different. It's not David Wayne, but there's plenty of double bass. There's plenty of chugging along. It's a little more musical.
I liked Blessing in Disguise personally. That was kind of my introduction to the band. And I like Mike Howe. Again, he had the punk style vocals, I thought, which fit very well, you know, with what they were trying to do. I know it's probably their most commercial album, but, you know, for me, being a young metalhead at the time and gobbling up everything that I possibly could, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely a good album. The Human Factor was the one I was kind of, I listened to it not that long ago, and I like about half of it. That one I thought was a little more commercial myself, just listening to it.
I stand corrected. It's The Human Factor. I stand corrected. That's the album I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, from 91. Yeah, there's some good stuff. In Mourning's great, The Human Factor.
Agent Green.
In Due Time. Oh, man, awesome song, but yeah.
Yeah,
Blessing. Blake, I know you don't like the singer a whole lot, but go back and listen to Rest in Pieces. It's a song written about the Titanic. It's the second track, Blessing in Disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best metal drumming you'll hear, I would say even up to modern day. Phenomenal drumming, great, great rhythm guitar work too, with some cool harmony parts.
Well, it's not that I didn't like the singer, it's just I like David Wayne better.
Yeah. He had his own style without a doubt, man. He was a madman behind the mic.
Okay. Anyway, and I'll just mention a few other bands that I didn't listen to them, but I have it written down here. Sodom and Destroy. I don't know. Sodom, I guess, were kind of black metal once, but I guess they switched to thrash. I'm not positive because I never listened to them. Destruction, I know they were from Germany, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were big on it. And in the UK, they had Sabbath and Onslaught, but again, they're not bands that I listen to myself. So
I actually thought Sodom was bordering on death metal, particularly with their first couple albums like Persecution Mania and Agent Orange. I thought were very, very aggressive, very death metal quality. I like them. I mean, not as much as say Creator or Coroner, but I definitely put them up there in the European top four, or big four rather.
Yeah, I did have that. I guess I erased that. But anyway, okay. So now we're going to go to Canadian thrash. And I will talk if you guys have anything to add after, you can.
But it's all you, Blake.
Of course, being in Canada, and you had to have so much Canadian content on your music things. Now, there was on the radio, obviously, but on your, you know, Much Music here in Canada, your MTV thing, Canada. So you'd have your metal shows, so they had to play some Canadian stuff. And so we would get it. And as a Canadian and a proud Canadian, I always liked the Canadian bands. I mean, I like the American bands too, but it was nice to have Canadian bands doing it too. And we talked about Exciter earlier, which was one of them. I guess we have the big four of Canada, but I'm not sure, because I really only have five. There's other bands. There was a band called Slaughter, not the hair metal band, but the Canadian thrash band called Slaughter. And we had, of course, Annihilator, who made a whole bunch of albums, even though really I think only one member of Annihilator is Canadian.
Yeah, you had mentioned that before.
But yeah, since he's the leader and he's the guitarist and he's the guy, I consider them a Canadian band because of him, Jeff Waters, of course. And then there was Sacrifice, who had a few albums, and they had Forward to Termination album, which is a great one. And I think they're releasing a new album. This is one of those bands that's gone 20 or 30 years between albums, but they're coming back and playing a new album. Razor was another band. They had an album out a couple of years ago after, again, another 20 years without an album. Exciter is on tour, but I don't think they ever made a new album. It's been years. And Voivod, which is a group that I'd never really listened to that much, but I guess they're kind of thrash. I wouldn't really call them thrash myself, but they are included when other people write about them and stuff. But they're more, I don't know what you call them, progressive, weird space alien metal.
It's kind of a space rock of some sort. Yeah.
But
space prog.
but I, as a Canadian, I listen to those bands, Exciter, Sacrifice, Razor. I listen to them all the time, along with my Metallicas and Slayers, and Exodus, and whatever. And if they would have been from the United States, they probably would have been more popular. But since they were in Canada before the internet started and stuff, it was harder to, you know, to for Canadian bands, unless you're Rush or maybe Triumph. That's about it for hard rock Canadian bands back then that could really make it. So
that's the extent of my knowledge of Canadian bands. I think it pretty much starts with Rush and ends with Voivod.
But yeah, so does either one. So you don't have any, Eric, do you have anything to add? I know you like Annihilator, but you probably don't like bands too much. But.
Yeah, I'm definitely an Annihilator fan, as I admitted to on this program once before. I regret not following them a little more closely. I was getting into a lot of different bands in like the mid to late 80s, but that Alice in Hell album, just that was a huge influence on me as a fan. And then I learned the guitar parts, and oh my gosh, man, Waters, you want to talk about somebody ahead of their time. That guy's, he's definitely, man, that right side of his brain must be large, because he's very gifted. He's a great player. And you turn me on to Never Never Land by Annihilator. That's a masterful album. So I got to dig up some more Annihilator, but I did see them live quite a few. This is back in their heyday, and they were awesome.
Yeah, and they've had a whole bunch of albums. There's a lot of great songs, and they've had about 100 different band members come and go. So anyway, okay. So now we're going to get to, I want to do, this is the second chance for people to make their selections. We did the big four, but now I want to do the next four. So I don't know if John will throw Metallica into his next four. Probably not. From the way he sounded before. But here, I'll go first on this, I guess. Since
there you go.
Yeah, I'll go first. So my, of course, so these are going to be different by what you pick in your first four. Because, you know, my big four was Metallica, Slayer, Exodus, and Testament. So my next four, I am going to throw in, I have them in order. It doesn't really have to be in order, but I got Anthrax as my number five, and then Overkill, who, yes, lots of albums. They definitely could have been in the top four, the big four too. Megadeth, who I really, John kind of said this, they kind of left thrash too in a way, too, after their first four albums, I guess it was, four or five, whatever it was. And I have number eight, I have Annihilator, because like we just talked about. So Eric, you want to say what your next four might be? Now did you say it big four the first time, because I know you wanted to do six, so I don't remember what you did now.
Yeah, so all I did was I played it kind of safe, but I did feel that they got the big four right, but I just wish they would have included Testament and Overkill.
Okay.
You know, without going into too much detail, but I would say that
two?
I would say like for me, so I maybe misinterpreted this. So for my modern big four, I would still have Testament and Overkill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can double dip or not, but I feel like those bands are still going really strong. So, I mean, like I've been listening to Dark Roots Live. It's in, you know, at the Paramore in New York. I've been listening to that lately in the car, and that's Testament, you know, yeah, I don't know, was it 2012 or something, 20, yeah, any somewhere around there. And it's been a few years, but they still sound great. Overkill, I mean, I can't even keep up with all their albums, but those guys are so consistent. Blitzer and Company. Excellent. Yeah, Anthrax is definitely a band. They're one of my favorite bands. I feel like those guys, what they did with Worship Music, I just, you know, For All Kings, really solid album too. They're supposed to have a new album out this year, and they're not thrash, but Dream Theater, they're supposed to have an album out this year as well. So I'm pretty stoked to hopefully both of those bands release their albums this year. The other one is kind of a question mark, but Shadows Fall, I don't know where they stand because Anthrax grabbed John, the lead guitar player from Shadows Fall, and he's a full-time player in Anthrax now. But I really like Shadows Fall quite a bit. So I don't know. I think they're still together as far as I know. They just haven't put out new music in a really long time. So I would have them with kind of my big eight. I guess I kind of was a little bit, I don't know if I'd say lazy. I mean, Megadeth, them and Metallica both, I do like 72 Seasons. I wouldn't really call it thrash. Maybe it's closer to speed metal or more than stadium rock, but Megadeth and Metallica could definitely be on there, but I would lean heavier towards Testament, Anthrax, Overkill, Shadows Fall. I think that would be my big four. And if Megadeth and Metallica wanted to hitch on the wagon, sure, why not?
Okay, John, what are your thoughts here? Do you have another next four after your other big four?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I can't say enough good things about Overkill. I think that band has been the most consistently excellent out of all the thrash metal bands going on 40 years now. So that's definitely why they made my big four. Again, for my next four, I'm kind of going off the grid a little bit because I really like a lot less popular stuff because I'm an asshole. But I think, first up for my next four, I got to look at Dark Angel. Gene Hoagland as a drummer and as a lyricist is in a league of his own. The work that he's done with Dark Angel, the work that he's done with Death, the work that he's done in Testament, Gene's a personal hero of mine. So I definitely got to say Dark Angel kicks off my next four. Again, I'm staying left coast on this one. I'm going to go with Sadus. Again, phenomenal musicians. Darren's an incredible guitar player. They've had Steve DiGiorgio with them for many, many, many years, who is essentially my favorite bass player. I mean, the dude is the god of all things fretless. And then, beyond those two, I think, you got to take a long look at Creator, obviously, for everything that they have accomplished over the course of their very lengthy career. They've only ever put out one album that I didn't like in, 30 years, 35 years. And lastly, Suicidal Tendencies. Again, they lean more towards the punk. But again, I don't think they get the love that they deserve for being as good as they really are. Mike Muir is one of the best frontmen in metal, period. And, you look at the lineup, guys like, Mike Clark and Robert Trujillo that they've had over the years. They've just had phenomenal musicians. And, all they wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi.
I love
Suicide John. I'm glad you mentioned the ST, man. Great band.
They're great. They again, kind of like Coroner across the pond there. They never got the credit they deserve for as good as they are.
So true.
And Infectious Grooves, which definitely isn't thrash, but it's still cool.
It's still cool.
At least I think so. Some people don't, but I do. I love Infectious Grooves. Okay. So that's it for that. So yeah. So give us your top eight, I guess. You can do it in two sections, but people, if you're listening, you want to win the prize pack, you can submit your five to number eight thrash bands. And that gives you another entry to win our contest. Okay. Now we're going to talk about, now this probably won't take too long because we're all pretty old here. No offense to you two, because I'm probably older. So really offense to me, but we're going to talk about modern thrash metal bands, and we probably don't listen to too much, but I'll go first because I got some stuff here, and if you guys have anything to throw in about it, and we'll also talk about bands that continue today, but we've kind of already did that anyway, especially you're just talking about Overkill, so that would be one that's still going. Testament's on tour right now and they're making a new album, so we know they're still going. And I'm not sure about Exodus. They had a live album out last year, I think. And so a bunch of these bands, Tankard in Germany, they're still playing. They've been playing thrash for 30 or 40 years themselves, and they never change. And I guess Slayer's coming back, I think, probably just to make some more money on tour, but I don't really know about making any albums. But anyway, I do have just a little bit, thrash, modern thrash band. Like you got Municipal Waste, even though they've been around for a while too, but they spearheaded, I guess, the thrash revival. And then you had Warbringer and Havoc, but again, Warbringer I've listened to a bit, but Havoc I've never listened to. And Power Trip, I guess, was another band. Do either of you listen to any modern? Oh wait, I do have one more band. Methane. I found a group called Methane who are from, oh my god, I think they're from Germany. Shit. But a guy that I know that has his own podcast told me to check out Methane, and I really like them. The album that I did a review of it, but I can't remember the name. I don't have it wrote down, but think of the band Methane and check them out. It's kind of more groove metal, I guess you would call it, Pantera-like, even though nobody's mentioned Pantera, so I guess we don't really consider them thrash, but there's moments in there where they could be. So that's another
definitely
maybe check out is Methane. But anyway, so do either of you listen to any modern day thrash bands that aren't as old as we are?
Go ahead, John.
Me personally, I'm a death metal guy, so I don't really listen to a whole lot of thrash metal these days, other than the gateway bands that you know, I grew up with as a teenager. And the ones that I love best, Overkill and Prong, are both still, you know, kicking it today. I mean, they both released new albums last year. You know, I would love to see them both live at some point in time. But really, no, I mean, I lean more towards the death metal side of the house. And that's basically where my taste has been for, shit, close to 25 years now.
Yeah. Eric, how about you?
Well, I'm going to have to make a note of Methane.
Yes, check them out.
Yeah, there's I saw, you know, these are just groups. These are groups that I don't listen to, but Vector sounded kind of interesting. Have you guys ever listened to Iron Reagan? That was one I looked at and I was like, okay, I haven't listened to any of these bands.
I don't think I'd listen to them.
I think they're a relapse band, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought they kind of leaned more towards like almost like a motorcycle punk kind of sound, more like a High on Fire.
I
could be completely wrong, but that's just the impression I got based on cover art and things like that.
Yeah, I don't really listen to any modern thrash music since Blake mentioned it. Honestly, I kind of looked up some. I haven't listened to any, but I'm certainly open to checking some new music out. It's always good to hear fresh tunes. I mean, obviously we love the classics. We love the groups we grew up on, but it's always nice to have something fresh to listen to, you know, in the old earbuds. So I'll definitely have to venture out and check out some of these bands.
And sorry,
but I don't listen to any current modern thrash right now.
Methane, they're from Sweden. I apologize for getting that wrong.
Okay.
Not that it's that big of a deal, but yes, they're from Sweden. But yes, their last album is a good one.
The lines get kind of blurry too between like thrash and power metal, and thrash and death as well. You know, there's a lot of bands that some people would consider thrash that might be, you know, a little more one way or the other with where they fall in genre definition or whatever. Like I like Burning Witches. It was probably the most, you know, modern quote unquote thrash band that I would listen to. But again, they lean more on the 80s kind of power metal side too. So it's kind of hard to categorize a lot of these newer bands because, you know, the lines are so blurry.
Yeah. And there's so many mixed genres now of whatever, like, cause Methane, it doesn't say they're thrash, but it says they're groove thrash or whatever. And there's Nervosa, the female band from Brazil. I think they're supposed to be thrash, but some people may consider them to be death metal too. So it
can be tricky. Now, quick question for you guys. Did either of you, I know I shared a song or two with you, Blake, maybe a year or two ago, but did either of you guys ever get into Heathen?
I remember listening to it, but I know the name and that's the extent of it.
Yeah,
there's an album I strongly recommend. I just started working it in my rotation of like 15 albums on Spotify. It's kind of absurd, but I'm trying. But The Evolution of Chaos, it came out in 2010, but they have a 10th anniversary in 2020. So I'm curious to hear if the production's better. I honestly feel like they might be more speed metal, like the vocalist is. I mean, he can be a little bit harsh, but he's more kind of mid-range, not high like Flotsam and Jetsam, not like AK, but is a little more melodic. The music's really interesting. It's really fast, but they do some cool, and obviously, you know, being a guitar player, that's what I'm going to pump real heavily. But I hear some really neat guitar harmonies like mixed in with these really thrashy, fast moments. And it does, they do have some of the progressive elements where they have some like clean parts too, but it's driving stuff. You guys might like them. Blake didn't really give me a feedback. He didn't hate it because he didn't say that, but yeah. I sent him maybe one or two songs, but it's, yeah, I think they have a pretty neat sound. They've been around for a while. They're not new. Their debut album was actually in 86 and they've had member changes too. I was just curious, since we were talking about thrash metal, they're kind of a speed thrash metal outfit.
Yeah, I've heard the name multiple times, but never really got around to investigating or checking them out. But, you know, I'll definitely give it a listen, see what I think.
Cool.
Okay, so now we get to the finish here, and this is
the most
important part. I guess it's not important. We're going to do our top 10 thrash metal albums of all time, and we would love to hear everybody listening give us your top 10 thrash metal albums of all time. See if you match any of us. There might be a couple repeats in here, but there's so much good thrash from the 80s, and just from hearing you guys talk and John mentioning different bands, Eric mentioning different bands. And I know Eric said there's a band he's going to mention that we haven't heard before, unless it was the one you just mentioned.
Nope, not yet.
And we all have different albums that we like by some of the same bands. So I don't know who's going to go first. Should I go first? I'll go first.
Fire away.
Okay. I'm starting and I got mine in order. Sometimes people don't put theirs in order when we get to a top 10. I don't know if you guys did or not, but I got mine in order.
Mine's in order.
At number 10. And I have Exciter, the Canadian band, their second album, Violence and Force. So you should go check that out, you two, if you've never listened to that before. It's very 80s thrash, of course. And that was a three-member band, too, just like Rush. And the drummer sang in Exciter, too, which is kind of strange to think a drummer in a thrash band is also a singer. But anyway, he was. Okay, so number 9. Now, I didn't mention this group in the, because I wasn't sure if they're thrash or not, but John brought them up, Suicidal Tendencies. And I have their album, Lights, Camera, Revolution. Now, I love Suicidal Tendencies, but I wouldn't say their last few albums are thrash. They're more kind of back to being punkish kind of thing again. So
I'm okay with that.
Know if they should really be called thrash. So that's kind of why I didn't really talk about them much. But anyway, they're on my list because I love Suicidal Tendencies and Infectious Grooves, if I didn't mention it. Number 8. Now I have Overkill, and there's so many Overkill albums. And this is probably one of their albums that there's not many guitar solos on it, but it's my favorite Overkill album, and it's From the Underground and Below. And I didn't make note of what year that was, but it's kind of in the middle, I think, of their catalog. Even though
the years of decay
is the reason I started listening to Overkill, I think. And that's a great album too, but I just prefer this album better, so I got that one. Number 7, nobody mentioned this band yet, I don't think. So I got the debut album from Death Angel, The Ultraviolence. Yes, I love that album. They were only 18-year-olds when they made that album, I think. 16, 17, maybe.
19. But you're warm.
Yeah, but anyway, I love that album, and I like that. Then Death Angel's still around too, I believe. Last year, I think, on tour. I'm not sure about an album, but number 6, I have a Megadeth album, but it's not what's the album called?
You're right, Rust in Peace.
Rust in Peace. I was gonna say Rust
don't
in Peace.
Don't doubt yourself, Blake. You've whatever. Got how many?
Blake, but how I don't many have that have album. I have Peace Sells, but who's buying? That's my favorite Megadeth album, so that's my number 6. And number 5, I have Slayer, and no, it's not Rain in Blood, because that's not my favorite Slayer album. It's their first album, Show No Mercy, the one we're giving away as part of the contest. So I have Show No Mercy. That's my number 5 album. Number 4, now I kind of mixed some groups up. I could have had multiple albums. I do have one group twice, which you'll probably guess, but I got Anthrax as my number 4, and I was debating whether I wanted Spreading the Disease or Among the Living, because I love both albums, but I went with Among the Living. because it was a little more, I don't know if it was more thrash than Spreading the Disease. I don't know. But any day I could listen to either one of those ones. My number three, I got Exodus, Bonded by Blood, their first album. I love that album. And so, of course, my top two is the same group. And, of course, it's Metallica. So my number two is Master of Puppets, because my number one is Ride the Lightning, because that's always been my favorite Metallica album. So there, that's my top 10 albums. So, Eric, let's you. You've been here the longest on the Metal Pit, so I'll let you go before John. So what's your top 10 thrash albums?
Well, you know, that might be a mistake because, you know, Eric can ramble on a little bit, but, well, you know, as long as the listeners are cool.
We're at about an hour.
Yep. As long as the listeners are cool with it, I will rock and roll. So I thought you would have some honorable mentions. I will be swift. Slayer, South of Heaven. Mm-hmm. Exodus, Fabulous Disaster. Annihilator, Alice in Hell. Metallica, Ride the Lightning. Moving on. Number 10, John, I'm curious if you've heard of this band. Blake, I am 100% sure you have not. Wrathchild America from Martinsburg, West Virginia.
I've heard the name.
In the Walls.
I've heard the name, but I don't think I ever listened to them.
Climb in the Walls.
Brings me back to age 15, 14-ish. Yeah, that takes me back a few years.
Love that album. I dusted it off. Yeah,
I think I probably haven't listened to it in, probably close to 30 years. I mean, you're digging deep on that one.
Yeah, it's a great album, man. It's awesome.
It is.
Yep.
What's the album? What was the album?
So it's Climbing the Walls.
Okay.
It's their first album. Sadly, they only released two albums. That's the hard part. And 3D is a solid album, but Climbing the Walls, a little more traditional, I guess, speed thrash metal, but they mix it up. I'm gonna cut myself short here, so I don't want to carry on any album too long, but definitely check that one out. Okay. Silent Darkness, my favorite song by them. Number nine, I think both of you will appreciate this one. It's kind of funny because it's the same band that Blake chose at number nine, just a different album. How Will I Laugh When I Can't Even Smile Today? Suicidal Tendencies. I can never get enough of this album. I loved it as a teenager. Loved it, I guess, in the 20s and 30s, and I love it now. So it's a great album, man.
Still relevant. Still relevant.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. Number eight. Yeah, these guys, Blake, you're onto something. I went ahead and put them down. I kind of felt like maybe they could have been a little bit higher. But there's so many great grooves on this album. This is like a riff album. Pantera, Cowboys from Hell. I mean, you know, Hallelujah. Some just awesome riffing by the man. Dimebag. Some stellar soloing and great vocals, too. Everything's awesome about that album.
Yeah. Great drum work. A lot of great drum work. I thought Vinny is very underappreciated, just how precise he is with everything that he did.
You're right. He definitely is overlooked. It seems like he sure is. I mean, I don't know too many drummers, but it does seem like he's overlooked. So then from number eight to number seven, I wanted to put Lightning in here. I listened to it this week, and Justice for All is, for whatever reason, I like that one. Just, I think it's the era. I saw them second row at the Cap Center up in Maryland. And just maybe seeing that show, just that album, it's like progressive thrash metal. Man, I love the long songs. It's a great album, beginning to end. Number six, Overkill, Years of Decay. Oh, man, I mean, just, like was mentioned before, I mean, they have 20 full-length albums. That's just unheard of in really any genre of music, but Years of Decay, love that album. It's never thought of it before, but I mean, honestly, it's a perfect album, and that's number six for me. Number five, I went back and forth between these two, between six and five. Testament, New Order. I saw these guys in Baltimore. I met the band. They let me on their tour bus at the show. Yeah, I drank a Heineken, and I was 19. I talked to Alex Skolnick, so... New Order definitely has that place. I just love just the intensity of it. They have these clean sections where Skolnick's doing his melodic, great shredding, and Peterson's riffs are still to this day, man. He is just such a brilliant songwriter, man. I mean, he lays the thunder down, man, without a doubt. Number four, we're moving to Megadeth, P-Cells. What more can you say about that album? That's one of the most important thrash albums ever. Dave Mustaine. Mustaine probably at his peak. I mean, I like his vocal delivery and his attitude. I like the attitude of this album the best out of all Megadeth albums. I will move on to number three, Among the Living by Anthrax. That's my favorite East Coast thrash band. I love Overkill too. But yeah, Among the Living's great. Spreading the Disease certainly is one I thought about on and off. But Among the Living is beginning to end. Just such a phenomenal album. They have a lot of intensity. Belladonna, I guess it's a little polarizing because he has that higher registry vocally. That's kind of what I liked. He's a little bit different. He didn't really have the lower or the, you know, anything super deep. But I thought that kind of what set them apart. Scott Ian with so many mosh. There's moshing riffs. I Am the Law, one of the best ever. I'll stop myself again. I'll move on. I listened to this album this week. It's been a long time. Metallica, Master of Puppets. Such a gem. This could easily be number one. But Cliff Burton, you can tell he instilled his knowledge of music theory and his knowledge of music in this band. It's prominent in Lightning, and in Puppets, I think it's even more prominent. What a cohesive album. Number one, it's been talked about, Megadeth, Rust in Peace. This is it. Dave Mustaine and Marty Friedman, and what a tandem. Wish it would have lasted longer. I understand it, musicians, everybody has egos. Everybody wants to kind of do their own thing stylistically. But Menza, Ellefson, I mean, the whole band was, they were just hitting on all cylinders. I listened to this album like probably 3 hours ago. So, and it's still there. I listened to a remastered version from 2004. But yes, this album is perfection. I love it. Holy Wars is my favorite thrash song of all time. So that kind of tells you. And Rust in Peace, Polaris has some of my favorite drumming. Great, great guitar work. There's some grooves in there that it's like, wow, Dave Mustaine's just laying out some grooves. It's not all speed. Some really, really cool, innovative stuff on there. And that's 1990. So that is my top 10 list.
Okay. Now, John, let's hear yours.
All right. Well, mine aren't in any order whatsoever because I'm an insufferable asshole and I love chaos. So here we go. I'm going to, you know, obviously Master of Puppets. Obviously, it's a generational album. Fleming and the production, I don't think, get nearly enough love. How do you get a sound that huge with only four guys? This is 1986, and this album is colossal. You know, the songwriting in terms of the music, the lyrics, just everything. You can make the argument that Master of Puppets is the greatest metal album ever recorded out of any genre, and I'd be very, very, very hard-pressed to argue against it. So we're going to knock that one out right off the bat. Another one, easy pick, Rust in Peace, obviously. Eric, the syncopation between the guitar and the drums in that album are phenomenal. Particularly, you look at, like you said, Holy Wars, just stellar guitar work. It is Megadeth at their finest. You can't go wrong.
So true.
Nuclear Assault, Handle with Care, is one of my favorite thrash metal albums. It's probably one of my favorite pure thrash metal albums in that it's a lot more punk, both in the lyrics and in the aggressive song styling. Danny Lilker, again, everything he touches turns to gold. I thought John Connolly is a lyrical genius and a hell of a guitar player. So I got to give some props to my boys from Jersey, Nuclear Assault. Looking at Prong, Ruining Lives, it's a more recent album, a 2010. It's probably their thrashiest album. I know Tommy can get a little more progressive with his stylings and, you know, leaning towards more industrial and hardcore type stuff. I think Ruining Lives is probably their best and most pure thrash metal album. And again, the punk influence is always readily apparent. Apparently, Tommy had actually worked at CBGB's as a sound man early in his career. So, interesting little note.
That's cool.
Slayer, you got Seasons in the Abyss is, for me, probably album of the year 1990. As much as I love Rust in Peace, Seasons in the Abyss had a little bit of everything. It had speed, it had aggression, it had creepy atmospheric parts. It had that kind of steady stream of melody that kind of flowed through the whole thing. I think that was really Jeff and Carrie at the top of their game. Beyond that, I'm going to go with Grip Incorporated, Nemesis. Again, an album that you guys probably don't know. Again, phenomenal recording production. Great guitar work, stellar guitar work. Dave Lombardo at his best behind the kit is phenomenal. For number seven, I'm looking at Dark Angel, Darkness Descends. And again, very, very underrated band. I think Gene Hoglan is, I've seen him live only one time in the Death to All, the Death tribute band. He's great live. He's as precise live as he is recorded. The man's just a machine. And, you know, again, the songwriting, yeah, it leans a little more towards the West Coast progressive side of things, but it's still very aggressive, very thrashy. So a lot of love for Dark Angel. Sadus, A Vision of Misery, 1992 release, one of my gateway albums into extreme metal. The musicianship is top tier. Those dudes there, they don't mess around. Very technical, probably the most technical of the thrash bands that I've really ever listened to. And I think that they've got a certain aggressiveness. They're almost a death metal band. They're another band that's borderline between the two genres just because how extreme they are. You know, and then, of course, I got to look at my boys in Overkill with WFO. I think it's, again, it's a later release. It's in 94. Pure thrash metal. It's just got the crunchy guitars, you know, the tight drum work. I think Dee Dee's bass sounds great in the mix, and he's just absolutely relentless with it. Phenomenal album. Can't say enough good things about Overkill, and you know, especially with the incredibly lengthy career that they've had and just consistently excellent. And then finally, I'm wrap it up with Creator and Coma of Souls. Again, a very, very important album to 15, 16 year old me, just exploring extreme metal for the very first time. Seeing the video for People of the Lie on Headbangers Ball just blew my mind. And it's an album that is, again, it's almost a death metal album because of how extreme it is. You know, maybe not so much vocally, but musically. And the songwriting, again, it's kind of punk in that, you know, lyrically it leans a little more politically, which thrash metal has a tendency to do. The guitar work's just unreal. Phenomenal album. I still have the tape years and years later, believe it or not, of all things. But very important album. Very special album to me, as they all are in their own way. So that is my top 10 in no particular order.
Okay, that's awesome too. Okay, I have one more top 10 list because I asked AI. I said, what are the top 10 thrash metal albums of all time? Because I wanted to see how it did compared to us. So I'm going to ring that off. Now, there's one group on this list that nobody has mentioned at all. So I'm going to go through it. I'm going to start at number one since the one they mentioned is number 10. So it has Master of Puppets first. It has Rain and Blood by Slayer second. It has Rust in Peace third. It has Among the Living fourth. It has Exodus Bonded by Blood fifth. Creator's Pleasure to Kill sixth. The New Order by Testament seventh. The Years of Decay by Overkill 8, and it has Canadian Annihilator in here with Alice in Hell. But number 10, it has Sepultura with Beneath the Remains, a band that never mentioned tonight.
Sepultura is a death metal band.
Well,
Sepultura is a death metal band. I will argue that all day, every day. Beneath the Remains is a phenomenal album. High energy, intense. It's a death metal album. Sepultura, all the way up through Chaos AD, they were a death metal band. And I possessed, too. I will argue that about both of those bands forever.
That possessed is also death metal? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I know some people do consider Sepultura thrash, too, but I didn't listen to it too much. But it's people's. And another thing, we talked about Metal Church. I could have had them in my top 10, too, because I really like the first two albums, but I kind of forgot that. I could have considered them thrash too, but whatever.
I can't believe anyway. I had no idea. I'm still blown away by that.
So there we are. So everybody, send in your top 10 thrash metal albums of all time, and we'll see how you do. We'll see. Because see, you mentioned, we all mentioned Overkill, but we all mentioned different albums by Overkill.
That's what keeps it fun.
But, you know, when you have 20 albums and they pretty much stayed the same sound, the AC/DC of thrash metal, I would call Overkill, where they don't change. They just do the same thing and they have a lot of great albums.
Disagree a little on that. They've gotten a little more, dare I say, bluesy in their more recent releases. But again, I'm biased. Yeah, I'm an Overkill
guy.
They
didn't change as much as, say, a Metallica or a Megadeth did, I guess, is kind of what I'm going right. by, I guess.
You're both right.
Yeah. And I don't listen to AC/DC anymore, so I don't know what they're doing. But anyway.
I do hear the bluesiness, though. I do hear what you're talking about, John. They do incorporate, some more bluesiness. I don't know if that's the bassist doing that, kicking it off, but it does work pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they kind of are got bored being just a thrash band, and they try to really expand and push their horizons, but yet still remain Overkill, which, it's commendable. I mean, hell, Tommy Victor and Prong made a career out of it.
They make it work.
Every Prong album is different, but you still know it's Prong, and I think it's the same way with Overkill. Some albums are a little doomier, some albums are a little bluesier, and some albums are just straight up face rip and thrash, I mean, you got to handle those guys. They're awesome.
No doubt.
Okay. So I think that was a good podcast episode. We'll probably do more of these. Like, we'll throw in ones like this. I know John wants to do one on death metal, and I'm sure me and Eric are going to have to get somebody else to fill in for us.
I'll do a prog metal. I'll do a progressive metal or something.
Yeah, you can do that. But I only know Dream Theater, so that's all I can do for prog metal. But anyway, we're going to do more of these eventually as we go along. We'll do a death metal one. Maybe we'll do a prog metal one. We got lots of different people on the site now. A couple new people recently, too. So there'll be, and people like all kinds of different things. So I'm sure we'll do a bunch. We're not going to do every genre, but we'll throw in a few big ones and do it up and have some different thing. Maybe we'll have some podcasts where we put a band against another band, or an album from a band against another album from a band, like say Iron Maiden against the Judas Priest album or something like that. That's an idea we had, so we might
that'd be cool.
Sometime, but
we'll definitely
with albums, and I'll continue with some guests and everything like that. So again, the contest, make sure you send in your lists. It'll be posted on the website, social media, on what to do in case you listen to the podcast and don't want to go back to the start again to see what I said. But follow us, go to our website, metalpit.org, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit, and you'll find all the information to enter this contest, and there'll be more details on there when I get it all set out on paper or on screens, as we say now. So thanks, John, and thanks, Eric, for joining me.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will hear from you again next week.